But anyway, it was a really good time with Pastor Allen. I thought it was great. He's always a good laid-back man that just shares from his heart. And he's full of the love of Jesus, and the Word of God just flows like a river. And I know he's had a lot of different experiences over his years, and he was the dean of the school there at Norville Hayes for a while. So every year, you know, you get a new crop, and you see all kinds of different people. And Alan had opportunity to be with many great men, and some of them were, you know, well-known ministers, and also, you know, people that weren't so well-known, and had to navigate through a lot of things and learn a lot of things, and God has really blessed his ministry. It's helped to shape him, and you know, him spending time with the Lord. And how many remember some of the things he said? I'm going to share a few things. And he talked a little bit about, he said that praying in tongues a lot will change you. Praying in tongues a lot will change you. So it's not changing God, but it's changing us. Amen. And we can be changed like that caterpillar, can't we? We're not just a caterpillar anymore. If we'll stay in the cocoon, we're going to grow some wings and we're going to fly. We're going to be more and more like Jesus, transformed. Metamorphosis takes place, and we become that butterfly. It is a lifestyle of fellowship. So it's not every once in a while, but it's a lifestyle. Amen. I mean, you know, we walk with him. We walk with God every day. Every day. Just keep walking with him. Keep praying. Keep meditating the Word of God. Continue to listen for his voice. He's going to take us places. Amen. You're going to mount up with wings, but your wings are going to be better than that of a butterfly. It'll be like eagles. Hallelujah. You're going to fly. We're going to soar. Praise God. Woo! I hope you're getting ready. Glory to God. And we put off what the old man, and we're putting on the new man, right? And we're bringing to death, or we're mortifying the deeds of this body. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he said this is very interesting, that one of the biggest desires of the natural man is to have purpose. See, we want to know what our purpose is. But really, what we're wanting to do is lay down our life and find out what God's purpose is. Amen? So we will gain his purpose when we continue to seek him. So, so we want to continue to mortify the deeds of this body, amen, and be transformed. And if we're going to be transformed, we must mortify the body and our fleshly desires, our fleshly soulish desires that come to us, and we grow into maturity, the maturity of Christ, amen. We mature into the image of Jesus, and we don't lower the standard, amen? We just keep it, his name, Jesus. How many know Jesus is going to be the standard from now on? And if you lower the standard, guess what? He's still the standard. You might have lowered it for you, but you changed Jesus. And he said he's not going to change. Not for you or me or anybody else, amen? He's still the standard. Just because people lower it doesn't make it so. Amen. God said, hey, I've got an opportunity for you. He loves us where we are, but he loves us so much he doesn't want us to stay the same. Amen. He wants us to move forward with him. He said, this was also said there. He said, you never get recognition above the status of a servant. That's the best you'll ever be. And if you read through the New Testament, You know, many, many times Paul says, this is Paul, the servant of Christ Jesus, the servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. He didn't say, this is Paul, the apostle. He said, no, this is Paul, the servant of Christ Jesus, or the bond slave, the one that has chosen to be, to serve him. Amen? Praise the Lord. I think that's good. And we don't really rise above that status no matter what we're doing. Whether we're serving the Word of God or if we're serving tables or if we're moving chairs or taking food to the widow or to the to the hungry, it doesn't make any difference what we're doing. If we're sweeping the floors or whatever God asks of us, we do it with joy, amen, because we love Him so much. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God Almighty. Praise the Lord. Now, we all are going to face some things, and we're going to face temptations. Amen. Now, we said that temptation, remember he's talking about that, has to be something in you that you desire, right? Otherwise, you're not really tempted, are you? You want to do it. Otherwise, how could it be a temptation to you? And so we know that Jesus, of course, after 40 days, he was tempted. Hey, make these stones some bread, Jesus, so that everybody will know. You'll know that you're the Son of God. How many know? How many think Jesus was ever tempted to doubt who he really was? Amen. Everybody says, well, he knew he was. Yeah, he found himself and he knew who he was, just like you learn and you know who you are, but how many have ever doubted who you are, who you really are, that Son of the living God? Amen. And so there's some temptations that come. And, Jesus really did want to jump off the tower. And we think, well, why would he want to do that? Well, he was probably, I'm sure his mind was just like yours. And thought things that, he had to take authority over. Hallelujah. How many got to take authority over your thoughts sometimes? Amen. Cast those imaginations down. But praise the Lord, he didn't sin, did he? And he didn't cast himself off, and he didn't bow down to Satan to try to take the easy way. Sometimes that's what happens. Man, we come up with the easy way to God, the easy way to success, the easy way to make $1 million, the easy way to sell houses, the easy way to prosper, the easy way to get this business or that business. How many have heard of all the easy ways, or several easy ways anyway? Then they call you on the phone, Now they've got the automated trader, the AI, right? Artificial intelligence, they can do it because they're smarter than you and I. Well, they're not smarter than God, and he lives in you, and you have access to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Good news in the house tonight, isn't it? Praise God. Well, we want to keep praying. We want to encourage you to keep praying. You say, well, we did a lot of praying. I know last week was pretty busy for a lot of us. So praise the Lord, we made it. Amen. Hallelujah, we made it. Praise God. And we're still here. We're still going forward. Praise the Lord. So, and we have access to become stewards of the mysteries that are in the mind of God. Hallelujah. How many want to pray out some of those mysteries that are not mysteries to God, but mysteries to us? And then they'll be no longer a mystery to us, will they, if we pray them out? Because we'll get the answer. Hallelujah. How many know praying in tongues is not just to stay a mystery? It's to gain an answer. It's a prayer to be answered. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Boy, that's good preaching, Pastor Doug. I like that. Somebody's got to say amen. These will be me, right? Anyway, praise the God for the Holy Spirit who's going to teach us the truth. and he's going to protect us from error. Amen. He'll keep us strong. He is the revealer of all truth, and we're so grateful for that. And we want to bring forth God's fruit to the earth. You know, it's not just, there's a difference between doing things for God and letting God do things through you and I. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many remember that, right? See, we can do things for God, but in our own strength, it's not going to produce a lot, is it? But there's a difference. We can let God do things through us. And so we just dedicate ourselves, you know, on a continual basis to let him do what he wants to do. Now, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this service, that you'll do what you want to do. Thank you, Father, that you'll have your way tonight. Hallelujah. So it's very important that we follow God. Amen. He's got a purpose and a plan for every service. He knows who's going to be here and who's not. And he's not surprised. Hallelujah. Now, I mean, you know, maybe some people didn't come that they were supposed to. I don't know. You know, but we're here not to rule over anyone, but to be helpers of their joy. Amen. We want to help people succeed and fulfill what God has called them to do. And he wants all of our life, amen. Not just the time that we give him in prayer, but he wants all of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and we want to keep in connection with him and keep his agendas moving forward, amen. All right. Now, the standard is that we represent Jesus. Amen. In the earth. He is the one we're conforming to, and he's the one we're going to represent. So we want to keep that in mind and remember, hey, he gets the glory, right? See, I mean, what's going to happen when things are really popping? Well, we get a few miracles here and there, don't we? Amen. How many have gotten a miracle around here? Amen. You got a touch or healing or something. Amen. Praise God. I've gotten a few myself. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing what happens when you talk to him. Spend some time with him. Just worship him. Minister to the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know he enjoys you? He loves to hear your voice. Glory to God. Whew. It's amazing. You know, the psalmist said, what is man, Father, that you're mindful of him? What is man, Lord? You know, many times I think that myself sometimes. Lord, who are we? Lord, who am I? I'm a human of the race of Adam that was fallen, but you have redeemed me. And now, I'm no longer lost. I'm not broken, but I'm fixed. I've been changed. I become a son of the living God. He said, I know who you are. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I love to fellowship with you. I love to spend time with you. I like working with you. I like it when you're doing stuff and you just acknowledge me. When you ask of me. When you let me help you, when you let me walk with you, let me be a part of every area of your life. See, it's not just about kneeling down and praying all the time. Amen. But it's every area of our life. We say, Lord, you can have it. Yeah, let's do that. You know, Lord, you want to go for a walk? You know, Adam and Eve did. They went for a walk with God. Before they fell, they walked with God. He said he'd come down, walk with them in the cool of the day. Oh, boy. Woo. What a shame. Lost that glorious body. That's what we're really fighting, you know. But we're going to get it back. Praise God. We're moving over there. But anyway, that's enough of that. But anyway, not enough. Not really. But it's awesome when we can seek Him and know Him. Amen. We can walk with Him. And that we don't have to listen to the voice of our flesh telling us what to do all the time. We have authority over that. We can change those things. And we can allow them to come to a standstill and mortify, bring them completely stopped. Amen. So, hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. Where are we at, Lord? Okay. I got to get to my notes here. Now, for tonight, praise the Lord. That was my just a review for a moment. I just thought it'd be good to kind of think about some of the things and not to just forget. You know, you should take those things. Say, Lord, what did I really gain over these five services? What are some things? You know, I'm just thinking about some points that were said and things that may affect us and change our life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because we want to keep putting them into practice. We don't want to stop. We want to pray and continue to move forward. I don't know about you, but I want to get better at prayer. You know, I remember, I'm always thinking, I often think about, you know, when Charles Finney preached, he had Father Nash, that's what they called him. I don't know much about him. I don't know if there's a whole lot of information about him, but he would go ahead of him 2 weeks, 3 weeks at a time, and he would go and pray over the city. Now, the results of his preaching were greater than the results of many men that preached. He said 80% of his converts would remain saved, would remain in the kingdom of God, would remain serving the Lord. Now, that's pretty good. You have something like, I believe, like in a Billy Graham crusade, they have about 6%. Everybody says, what? Yeah, it's about 6% of those people that really confess the Lord, that stay strong with the Lord, and only about 3% really get into the church and serve God. So there's a difference. And part of it is they would be there. Many times he would get a hotel room, and he knew something about taking the city in the realm of the spirit. They knew something about pulling down the stronghold over that city. They knew something about praying and getting that city won for God. And that power has not been lost. It's still available today, and we can go there. We're going to see this city saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many are going to believe that we're going to have a team of people that can go and get the next city? Amen. We're going to find out how to take the city. Hallelujah. You know, if you just want one city at a time, how many think it'd be pretty good? You got this city. What about London? We got that city. What about Toronto over here? It's got, what, 3 million or whatever, and then 6 million round about it. A whole bunch of cities around there. Glory to God. And what if we share some of the things that we've learned and some other people get to praying? Bless God, we can get this world on to glory real soon. Amen. We still need preachers. We still need to hear the word of God. But, you know, there's a difference. There was a difference. And I'm not saying I have every answer yet. I'm working on it. I mean, I know who has every answer. Put it that way. I don't have it all, but I know who does. If we keep seeking Him, we can have those answers. And we can find out how to see a whole city won to Christ. I think it's pretty good, even if it's a small town, you know. He went to one small town, Brother Finney, and, you know, they said they were having the circus in town when he came to preach. And so they said, everybody went to the revival. Only 4 people showed up at the circus. That's pretty good. I mean, even if it's, say it was a small town of Say a small town of 500. You know, that's pretty good. Even 100 people, that's good. You know, that's a 96% rate coming to your service. He had nearly 100% coming to the service. And who knows, maybe some of the circus people went. I don't know. But bless God, people would get saved. I mean, they got saved. They would pour out the liquor from the bars right in the street. We don't need that anymore. We've got Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah, Lord. I don't know what's happening to me tonight. Bless God. I'm getting excited about revival again there. But, well, glory. What are we going to do here, Lord? I guess we'll stay on that. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we've talked about some of these revivals, but I mean, even in the Bible, they had quite a few. They had some revivals. I mean, Acts 19, remember Ephesus? City of Ephesus, where they had so much revival, so all the witches and the people of the occult and so forth brought all their books and burned them, valuing somewhere, those books were somewhere between $1 and $5 million. That's a lot of books. That's a lot of books. Whew. They burned them all because revival was in the city. Now, they did have some opposition. They did have some struggle. They had to face some things. I mean, you know, they had so many people getting saved, not just in Ephesus, but it would travel around nearly all of Asia. They were getting into Asia and so forth, and they were so concerned, the silversmiths, because they're making the shrines for Diana, and they're like, oh my goodness, we've got to do something. Because everybody's getting saved and they're not going to buy our products anymore because they don't need a silver shrine to Diana. They've got Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. I mean, I would say that's revival. It's beginning to affect the pocketbook, see. And that's the thing with revival. There's always a few people's going to come against it, you know. I mean, when all the sick people start getting healed, right? Then the doctors get upset because they're losing business. They're not getting paid. Oh. Huh. And so that creates a little problem there. We may have some problems. You know, in the past, it was anyway, I was trying to think of the guy that it was. Smith Wigglesworth came. He came to the U.S. In the U.S., he had that problem. They tried to sue him for practicing medicine without a license because he would lay hands on people to be healed. How many think that could happen? Are we ready? Amen. You know, are we going to stop following God because you went to jail? You might go to jail, but you know what else? Sometimes you may just walk through the midst of them. How many remember Peter? He got out of jail, didn't he? Hallelujah. The church prayed. I would say that's a small revival. I mean, I'm not saying they were in great faith because they were like, well, that can't be. I mean, it's Peter at the door. No, it must be his spirit. He's not really here. He just came to visit in spirit, you know. I don't know what they were. It so shocked them, they slammed the door in his face. But they were praying. They kept praying. And they had an unceasing prayer, and their prayers were answered. Praise God. Praise God. It really is him. Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do? Peter knew where to go. He did. He knew where to go. Because they had a place that they usually met. It was that lady that was Mary. you know, in the town. That was a different Mary. But her son was John Mark, mother of John Mark. And her husband had died, and she was quite well off and had a big house there in Jerusalem. And they would meet there often. When Jesus told them to go set up, get ready for the Passover, they knew where to go. They went to the room, the upper room there. So it wasn't just a small thing. She had opened her house many times. And of course, that's where Pentecost ultimately took place, right there. Glory to God. Could you imagine that? You opened your house and loaned it to Jesus, and here come the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Woo! The third person of God himself entered in. How many think that house is blessed? Amen. Woo! Kind of like Odin Edom. What was that in the Old Testament? You know, where they had to put the Ark of the Covenant in his house for a few months. Woo! He was blessed. The glory of God would fill it up. Can you imagine? Of course, you know, now there's some people here that are called sons of the living God. And you're filled with his glory every single day. Whoo! Access to heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. We have access to heaven every day. Every single day. Ho-ho! Man, I'd call that revival too. You can have revival in your own house, right? Amen. Right here, this house. Amen. Maybe at your home as well. Because he'll come, not just in you, but also upon you. Woo, glory. You see, in the old covenant, he'd just come upon them. But glory to God, we can have him in us and upon us, all around us. Going with us, never leaving us. I think revival's in the air. Praise the Lord. Whew. Well, I think we will have a full house shortly. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. I'm not getting to very many scriptures, am I? We better read the scripture. I read a few earlier, but we'll read some more. Let's look here. Here in Ephesus, Acts 19 says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Unto John's baptism.' But Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God." Whew. Well, not just a day or two, but 3 months, you know, in a short time, small season. "But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Whee! That's pretty good move of God here in a couple of years. All of Asia. How many think it'd be great if we could win all of Asia again? Amen. A new crop, a new generation here. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. How many would like to see some unusual miracles? Hallelujah. I know we already talked about a lot of these things, but God is emphasizing it again tonight because there's a place in Him that we can go and win the city. There's a place in the realm of the Spirit. If we'll keep praying, if we'll keep pressing, if we'll not pull back, we're going to have the answers to fully release the fullness of God upon a city. Hallelujah. Chris Carabrazombre, Papai, Popon, Blinginge, Gongange, Glibohondonge, Bazolzandai, Amene, Nikoi, Alabavrekito. The church of the living God shall arise once again, I say. The church of God shall take her place. And you shall begin to say, oh my, 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 how could this be? I thought it was over. I thought she was done because it looks like she's pulled back. But my work has just begun, says the Lord, a revival unto the church, I say. My church, I believe in her, and she shall display the glory of my power. Stand firm, stand firm. Stand strong, I say, continue to press, and you will be those that shall see much, much, much of the outpouring in these last days, says the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Those aren't things you study for, see. Nevertheless, you do prepare by praying and seeking the face of heaven and staying before Him. For if He wants to say something, then you just let Him do so. Amen. We still have to yield over to Him, you know. Amen. But we will, and it's a lot easier the more time that we spend with Him. Anyway, hallelujah. God's moving with special miracles here by the hands of Paul. That they came, even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. See, we've got to believe some of these things are possible. You know, I think some of the church has gotten away. We've forgotten. We've forgotten what God really wants to do and what He has done. And we need to get that stirred up in our spirit and stay strong. Say, Lord, You're going to stretch forth Your hand in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus, Father, we're asking You, that signs and wonders may be done, Lord. Grant us the boldness, Father, to preach Your word. We're going to be bold, Father. We're not going to draw back. We're not going to lower the standard. We're going to continue to press in. He says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now that might work if they would get that Jesus, amen. And let Him live in him, in them. But they were just using that Jesus who Paul preaches. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house, naked and wounded. You wouldn't forget that one, would you? Whoops. How embarrassing. See here, well, anyway, praise the Lord. There's still hope, amen. Even if someone does that, you know, they can turn to Jesus. They must have known there is power in what Paul was saying. They may not have realized they had to come to him first. So the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on him, and he overpowers him, he kicks him out. Then became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Glory to God. And many who had believed came, confessing and telling their deeds. And many of those who had practiced magic, here it is, brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them and totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Hallelujah. Which is today's world, they were saying it could be, depending on what they meant by the silver, it could be a drachma, which was worth less, but be somewhere between $1 and $5 million today. That's a lot of books. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Verse 20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I suppose if you saw some people get beat up and come running out naked here from the house across the street, you know, and you knew what they had done in the name of Jesus, you know, a little fear might fall on you too. I think I'll stay in the presence of God, the reverence of God. That's what they're talking about. People begin to reverence the Lord. Yes, he is full of power. He is all powerful. He receives the glory. Hallelujah. You know, we don't want people really running off like that. It's not necessary. They can get saved and go do it. Amen. How many know that? They can go. They don't have to worry about being run off that way. But when people don't know Jesus and start messing with his power, it's dangerous. Just like it was under the old covenant. You know, how many remember Aaron's sons, right? They put what strange fire before the Lord. They decided to take a shortcut. We can do this. We've done it 100 times. You know, sometimes we can get used or familiar to things. And yes, we love the Lord, and yes, he is our friend, but he is also God. And we must remember, he is Lord. He is Master. He is the one with the power. He is the King of glory, the Lord, strong and mighty. It is his power that we are in connection with, and we must give him all glory. See, we can become so much so. I mean, the Lord is our friend. But you know, we are more than just, we don't just treat him like a casual friendship. We honor him, amen? And we worship him and we reverence him. That's what the fear of the Lord is. And sometimes I think we even hear some people preach on the fear of the Lord. Yet, you know, it's not always evident. And we need to ask the Lord, Father, I want to fear you. I want to reverence the Lord. Because when we do, his power comes. His glory flows. His deliverance comes. His wisdom is made known. And men are changed. Amen. The word of God will grow mightily and prevail. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to stop right there tonight. Is that too short? You want to preach some more? I didn't preach real long tonight because I talked a little more about what Alan was talking about. But I want us to keep pressing in, and I want us to keep in mind some of these things tonight that are possible. I mean, how many think we could have quite a book burning here in St. Thomas? Amen. You know, think about that. You know, well, we might have to burn a few people's computers because they can't stay off. looking at the wrong things. Amen. Who knows what we'll have, but it's about dying to the flesh. It's about saying, Lord, I really do want to get rid of those things in my life. I really do want to lay down my life. I really do want to say, Jesus, you're Lord. I want to reverence you. I want to honor you, Lord. I want your word to prevail mightily through my life, because I was willing to say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done, and to stay in his presence and to know him and to allow his purposes to come to pass through us. Amen. All right, let's just stand for a minute and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. Lord, we didn't have a lot tonight, but Lord, just encouraging these people tonight, encouraging us. Lord, that all things are possible when we believe and when we walk with you. That, Father, there is that place in the realm of the Spirit where all things are possible. Lord, and we are going to that place. And we're going there by pursuing you, spending much time praying in other tongues, spending time, Father, meditating your word, spending time worshiping you, Lord, spending some time, if as necessary, Father, to do a little fasting, Father, to take special time to seek you. Lord, we want to see this city one to you, Lord, and it's not going to happen by accident. So, Lord, we're coming. We're asking you. We're thanking you for showing us the way, taking us to that place, Lord, like Father Nash knew, Lord, where the whole city will be one. Lord, our hope is not in who we are, but it's in who you are, the all-powerful one, that your name may be glorified in our city, Lord, and through our lives, Lord, and that Jesus would be seen and he would be Lord, and many will come and bow their knee before you, Lord. They'll come and present their, whatever represents their sins, Father, of the past, and they'll be thrown at your feet, Lord. Oh, Father, they will repent and turn to you and serve you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, Father. We thank you, Father, that this city is in raging revival. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.